Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program. All this week we'll be airing a study which was taught live at Calvary Chapel, La Mirada. The study was part of a verse-by-verse teaching through the Sermon on the Mount recorded in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. The studies this week will start out by giving historical background leading up to the Beatitudes, as well as looking at the first Beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The study today will focus on how the Pharisees believed a man could enter the kingdom of heaven. They focus primarily on the outward observances, while Jesus emphasized the heart and the fact that one must see themselves as poor in spirit to even enter the kingdom of heaven.
One of the more famous religious groups that you read about in the New Testament are the Pharisees. And they said, if you want God's blessing on your life, what you need to do is you have all these laws you need to live up to. It was all outward. It was all external. All these religious codes, the oral tradition of the rabbis that was passed on, the tradition. Hold to the tradition. Be obedient. And they were very legalistic. Jesus comes along and says, you guys are foolish. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's actually what comes out of his heart. So their religion was all external. But they're saying, if you do all these things, you'll experience God's favor, God's blessing, and we'll see God raise up the nation of Israel once again. Well, there was another religious / political group called the Sadducees. And they were a group that basically said, you need to get out of life all that you can now. Because they didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. They didn't believe in the spirits or angels. You live, you die, that's it. So their philosophy of life was to be wealthy and powerful. So they're the ones that were the aristocracy of the nation. They were also held the high priesthood. And they basically had it for their own advantage, for their own power as well as wealth. And so they gained a lot of money out of the people from their religion. That's why when Jesus shows up and he goes to the temple, and remember how he had to drive the money changers out? Basically, people had to buy at an exorbitant price the lambs or the turtle doves to worship God. The people were merchandising them, and Jesus drove them out. That was governed by the Sadducees. The high priest actually was collecting money off of that whole situation. Again, they didn't believe in an afterlife, so get all the political power, all the monetary power that you can right now. That was also a pressure coming in upon the nation of Israel. Well, when you get that environment, there's always going to be a group of people that are going to say, forget all of it. What we need to do is move out away from these people and let's develop our own little community. And that was a group called the Essenes. And they developed a little commune out in the desert. Let's get away from all the corruption. Let's get away from all the evil that's in society. So they developed this little 1960s commune, and it was all, you know, just a little group unto themselves. They developed their own calendar. They had their own way of worshiping, and they're completely separate from society. Many believe that John the Baptist came out of that sort of environment, that dedicated zealousness, entirely separated from society. And it was interesting, the Dead Sea Scrolls, have you ever heard about that in the news? That was the scrolls that were found among these groups called the Essenes out in the desert. And there's a lot of copies of scripture, but also a lot of information about their religious practices. And they have on one of the scrolls called the War Scrolls, what they were looking for, believing was going to happen when the Messiah would show up, is that the sons of light, that was them, were going to battle the sons of darkness, which were the demonic forces. When the Messiah shows up, they'll squash out all evil in society, there'll be true worship restored at Jerusalem, and then the law of Moses will be fulfilled as the way they were fulfilling it. So they separated themselves out from amongst the society. And that's how God's blessings and his favor is going to return to us. Now there was one other group, and that was called the Zealots. And this was the group that said, we'll do whatever we have to do to get Rome off our back. We have to kill, we'll kill. And Barabbas may have been one of those zealots and up for treason against Rome, for murder. So there was that group also in the nation of Israel to do whatever you had to do to take Rome's authority off our back and gain the power. And then we could be in a right place so God's blessing and fullness could all be fulfilled in our life. So all these pressures, all these opinions, all these influences were on the mind of the people as Jesus comes to talk about his kingdom. And his kingdom, says, has nothing to do with any of these ideas. It's completely different. It's completely foreign. You want God's blessing upon your life? You want to be in that state? He says you're a poverty of spirits. You are a peacemaker. When you're reviled, you do not revile in return. You hunger and thirst for righteousness. And it's not outward observance. It was completely contrary to all these agendas that people had. I want you to turn with me in John chapter 6, and I'll show you how people totally misunderstood the ministry and purposes and plans of Jesus. John chapter 6. Then we'll go back to Matthew 5. John chapter 6, in the first 14 verses, describe Jesus doing a miracle of feeding the 5,000. Look what happens in verse 15 as a response to that miracle. It says, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to a mountain by himself alone." As you look at that, my first question when I read that was, why did Jesus allow this to happen? That's what, he is a king, and they're going to make him king, so be it. Well, they were wanting to make Jesus a king because he was able to feed them. I mean, what a good deal. Hey, you get hungry, Jesus, we need a miracle. Provide some food for us. Ultimate welfare states. And again, you see how this is playing into the mindset of all these different groups. Somehow the kingdom's going to come, not in the form in which the way Jesus wanted it, but now he's doing these miracles and people are being healed. Hey, we're going to have a utopia here. Let's get Jesus, make him king. Let's get this thing going. What are we waiting for? And Jesus' kingdom is entirely different than what these people are expecting. So he departs and he leaves. See, you can't take Jesus and say, here's what my plan is in life, and now I'm going to fit Jesus to accomplish my goals and my purposes. And Jesus has a kingdom and he's going to establish, and he says, I want you to fit into it. And he has to start with a whole new foundation and wipe out all the other schisms and religions and political forces that were trying to control the minds of the people. And he wants to start out fresh. And Jesus doesn't want you to follow him because he does miracles. He doesn't want you to follow him because he's able to feed you. He wants you to follow him because you're in need of a Savior. You're in need of a spiritual birth. You're in need of spiritual life that only he could offer. And you want to come under God's favor in a relationship through Jesus Christ. These people weren't looking for that. And you know what? We have, not in the same form, but I believe we do have some of these same influences. We have zealots today. And that's some of those extreme groups that you saw up in Montana. They get their commune together, and they got guns, and they're ready to fight and destroy the government to bring in righteousness. Extreme, isn't it? But also we have zealots in the church that think the church's role, and I get tired of hearing this, that the church's role is to convert the government so the government would implement laws that are favorable to Christianity. I heard a guy in the radio, he quoted Isaiah 9 verse 6, which says his government will rest upon his shoulder, speaking of Jesus. He said, see, the church needs to be involved in the government because the government is resting on Jesus' shoulder. As I look at our government today, don't blame that on Jesus Christ. He has nothing to do with those things that are happening. He will establish his kingdom, I believe, when he comes back, and it'll be by force, and it'll be instantly. But until then, his kingdom's different. It's not just here to, you know, make a government that's nice and favorable to us. It says when you're persecuted, you're still blessed. So it's not based on any of these things. I believe we have the Essenes today. You know, people want to get away from the city. And we need to get out in the country where, you know, where we're with God. I mean, that's where nature, and we could really be spiritual. And your spirituality has nothing to do with whether you live in La Mirada or you live somewhere out, somewhere in the mountains. That's not what the kingdom of God is all about. We have the Pharisees today, and we have them in droves. There's many churches that are going to tell you, hey, you obey my laws that we have at this church, and you'll be right with God. You go to church on this certain day, at this certain time of year, don't eat this, don't touch that, don't do that, and you'll find God's blessing and God's favor. So the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. These are all just in different forms, and those all pressures are coming upon us. We also have the Sadducees today. Get all you can now. We have a doctrine in the faith movement that says basically you speak your reality into existence. You want to be wealthy, you just have to have enough faith and speak that into existence. You have a sickness, just speak health to your body. Get it all now. That's, again, it's the same sort of idea. And Jesus, I believe, like he does here in John chapter 6, he departs from those groups. He says, you're not going to use me for your ends to accomplish what you want to in life. I have a kingdom. And what the Lord's asking us to do is fit into his kingdom based on his principles, based on his priorities, which we're going to find in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And if we do that, we will find our life being blessed under God's grace, under God's favor, and find satisfaction in life. But we still are continuing to look at Jesus of how he's going to fit into my life and to make my life better. We'll never experience what these Beatitudes